Hello, boys and girls. You are listening to Inside the Desert Oasis Room, episode number 58. This episode is sponsored by Tandawai Rum. Established in the Philippines in 1854, Tandawai is one of the world's largest rum producers and winner of over 170 international medals in the past four decades, including Brand of the Year in London's World Branding Awards Rum category from 2015 to 2017 and Rum Brand Champion of the World by thespiritsbusiness.com in 2015. As sponsor of the Inside the Desert Oasis Room podcast and the toast to Master Ninja Ray Buen at the legendary Tiki Tea in Los Angeles, California, Tandawai is the perfect companion to celebrate all things tiki. For more information, check out their webpage at tandawaiusa.com or follow them on Facebook or Instagram at tandawaiusa. This podcast is also sponsored by the Royal Hawaiian. Founded in Laguna Beach, California in 1947, the Royal Hawaiian is South Orange County's premier tropical drink and dining destination. Come try their signature cocktail, the Lapu Lapu, a delicious combination of tropical fruit juices with a generous float of dark spirits. Or other island-inspired favorites like ahi tuna poke or the dynamite crab-crested mahi mahi. Enjoy their delicious brunch or drop in for happy hour from 2:30 to 5:30 p.m. daily for drink specials and more. To make a reservation, visit royalhawaiianlb.com. Today, we enjoy a couple of beers at Frogtown Brewery with Rod Moore and Brian Birch. Rod is the owner-founder of the Shameful Tiki Room with locations in Vancouver and Toronto, Canada. And Brian is known for his travel companion, the Penguin. You might have seen the Penguin or even been photographed with the Penguin at various tiki or surf events in the past. Rod and Brian also happen to be members of the surf band, the Hang Ten Hangmen. Here's some funny stories about the Penguin as well as how Rod went from owning a hockey supply store to running two tiki bars on each end of Canada. I hope you enjoyed this episode as much as we did bringing it to you. As you know, this podcast is a grassroots effort and relies on the help of our sponsors and our listeners. So if you'd like to help, stop by DesertOasisRoom.com and click on the donate button. Every donation, no matter the size, helps keep this podcast coming to you every week. Okay, here they are, eh? It's our friends from Canada, Rod Moore and Brian Birch. Alrighty then. Well, hey guys, thanks for coming.
Oh, hey.
Hi, Adrian.
Thanks for having us.
Aloha.
Thanks for doing this with this beer, eh? Oh, the oldest Canadian joke in the world.
I know. I have to say it. I have to say it every time.
Yeah.
What are some of the Canadian jokes that you hear all the time?
About Americans?
Canadian jokes about Americans.
Oh. Sorry, okay. I just assumed that's what you meant.
Apparently, we always say a boot.
A boot, yeah.
No, it's the same three. A boot,
a boot, boot, and a boot.
Hey.
And then everybody laughs like we've never heard it.
When I go to Canada, I never hear anyone say A.
Well, they do. I do.
Yeah.
Boot?
Yeah.
I say it once more. If I change it to hey.
Hey.
How's it going, hey?
No, I don't think you do.
Oh, damn.
You should change it to oi.
Oi?
Yeah.
How's it going, oi?
Where's that from?
Okay.
Okay.
Australia.
So you realize, though, that saying this as politically correctly as I can, yes, Canadians have things that they say, little taglines, accents,
sure,
whatever you call it. Americans do.
Oh, too. Yeah, yeah.
So at home, if you say thank you, I either say nothing or I say you're welcome. And here, if I say thank you, the response is, uh-huh. And it's not rude. It's just that's the response. But it's very foreign to me as a Canadian. It's like, uh-huh, what? That's not right.
What about sure? Thank you. Sure.
I would say that. I don't hear that. I hear a lot of uh-huh.
I know that Americans have a lot of those kinds of weird things like the A for Canadians. The only one I'm aware of really is like. Because, you know, like,
so many
people, like, say, like, all the time. You know, like...
Especially teenage
it's
girls.
It's so, like, annoying, right?
Oh, like, you know, the other day...
Do you, like
I was
do you understand?
At, like, this... They had this, like, new mug. I was all like what? Like, I'm like, Brian, look. I'm like, what? So, hang on. Like, again, I don't know what you're talking about. Like, there's too many likes.
So they do that in Canada too?
That's a teenage epidemic.
Absolutely.
Kids need to be taught how to speak. And they grow up into adults that say like all the time. Like, I like, I have no idea what we're talking about.
See, you started throwing that in there.
Sure.
I know when you said that to me, that and then they say it, and then they think it, and then they laugh hysterically because they think it's the first time that you've heard it. I've been hearing my whole life, yo, Adrian. And then they say, and then, yeah, see, right? And then they laugh hysterically.
I never thought of that.
They say, yo, Adrian, oh, I did it. Oh. And I was like, I've heard that since I was 7 years old.
Oh, yeah. I've never heard that, but I will do it now.
And I will do it.
See?
Before this day's over, I will do it. I can't wait.
Yeah. Whether they're taking a shot, or whether, you know, they're surfing, or whatever it is that they do, they got to look at me and say, yo, Adrian, I did it.
And they think it's so funny.
Yeah, they think it's funny.
You know, it's funny. I never heard that.
Well, let's start by saying cheers. You know,
cheers,
for the people that are listening, cheers. We are at our friends here in Frogtown. We're at Frogtown Brewery. And I'm having the pumpkin beer that they have every winter season.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. I've got a dark
even though
stout.
We've had like
winter.
Even though we've had, I know,
this is winter.
Triple digit temperatures in the past couple days.
This is my kind of winter.
Yeah.
What's the temperature up in Canada right now?
It's fluctuating.
It's like 15 Celsius today.
Do you have a trick for converting Celsius to Fahrenheit and vice versa?
Yeah. Check it out. Multiply by 9.
Oh, your phone. You just press the C.
Yeah.
And then it changes it to F.
That's right.
Okay.
That's as good a trick as it's faster than you trying to think.
Well, the actual is multiply by 9, divide by 5, add 32.
Right. So,
or you could just double it and add 30.
It's an algebraic equation.
It sure is. Your phone. Except I just hit the weather button, and then I hit the button on the bottom, and it goes, oh, did you mean this? I'm like, thanks. Brian, you keep doing your math.
No, this is Canadian math. That's Brian's all they teach in high school.
Brian's got his slide ruler out. Hang on, I need half an hour. I'll be there in a bit.
Well, that's funny.
The weather's already changed, Brian.
Damn it.
And what we should acknowledge is that we are drinking with the penguin also.
Hey, the penguin's here.
Does your penguin have a name?
Oh, everybody asks that. No.
And so you're conscious of that.
Oh, yes.
But you still have not chosen
it. No, we like it kind of generic. We just say it's the penguin. So when we're going out, should we take the penguin?
Yeah, let's
take
the penguin. When did you start carrying the penguin?
1991.
And what was the catalyst for that?
It showed up on my front lawn as a going away / birthday party when we were moving out to Vancouver from Toronto. So we decided to take the penguin.
Oh, so you're from Toronto.
Toronto originally.
Okay.
So grew up in Toronto, born and raised in Toronto. So we drove across the country with the penguin, we thought it'd be fun to take along, take photos of it, different places. There's like the big Goose in Wawa, the big Nickel in Sudbury, Columbia Ice Fields in Alberta. People started liking the photos. We thought, this is fun. We better keep doing this. And we started to run into famous people. So we then asked them for a photo with the penguin. They're like, yeah, sure, cool.
So I want to talk about all the famous people that have been photographed with the penguin. And I obviously want to talk about all of their reactions. But I'm curious, have you ever just gotten tired of carrying that thing around?
Yes.
Right?
Thailand, it was like 44 degrees, hot and humid. We're in a 3-day death march in the Golden Triangle. And it was tucked on my arm for 3 days. It was so hot. It was annoying as anything. I'm just going to punt it in the jungle. I am done carrying this thing.
Yeah.
But it survived. And it has war wounds, as you can see here.
It actually looks pretty good for being 26.
But here, look at this. That's where it was tied to a raft in Thailand. So it's all scraped off here.
Right.
So that's why we don't repaint it, because every little scratch and mark's a little story.
I'm surprised that it doesn't have more damage. I mean, like, if you look underneath, it's not even really that. It's still really smooth and...
It's not bad. It's
good.
It's pretty good.
Okay, so you've probably been asked before, who's the most interesting person who's photographed the penguin or photographed with the penguin?
Well, the best... Well, let's say the best.
Come on,
story. We'll get to him. Right. But Richard Branson was a ton of fun.
Okay.
Because he's pretty...
And how did that happen? So here's the thing. Okay, I'm going to interrupt you real quick. Do you meet celebrities because of the penguin that you would not have met otherwise?
Yes, absolutely.
Because I've seen quite a few celebrity photos with this guy. And I'm thinking, like, Brian fucking knows everybody, right? Like, I mean, like, everywhere he goes, he's got a photo with Gene Simmons, and now you're saying Richard Branson, mm-hmm. and I know that there's more.
Yeah, it's about 130 celebrities now posed.
Okay, so continue your story. Richard Branson.
Yeah, Richard Branson. He's in town, Vancouver, a lot. For whatever reason, he loves Vancouver. He's bicycled past us when we're walking around Vanier Park, which is a few blocks away from where we live. Anyways, he was in town doing some little promotion for Virgin Radio when that was still around. So Brian, I thought, well, I'll go down and see where he is and what he's doing. So we go down, and he's there, and he comes out, and we say, hey, would you like to pose with the Penguin? He's like, sure. So he poses with the Penguin, holds onto a typical photo, and Bernie, my wife, says, would you be so kind as to flip the bird? And he says, I beg your pardon. And Bernie says, you know, what you're famous for, because he always tips the women over for photos. So he tips the Penguin over upside down, takes a photo, and he's grinning away like a madman, as he does.
Okay.
He's a nice guy.
Have you ever, like, wanted to meet somebody and all you do is just walk up? You just show them the Penguin, right?
Yeah.
And then they say, oh, my God, there's a Penguin here.
Well, that's usually the reaction.
Okay, tell me more. Who else did the Penguin talk to?
I know. Come on, tell. Okay.
I know that there's more.
Oh, there's lots more.
My favorite. Okay.
So, I play bass because I'm a Kiss freak, and mainly because of Gene Simmons. Growing up, I saw Kiss Alive, that album cover. Saw Kiss in 1976. First concert I ever went to. Blew my mind. I was like 14 years old. So seeing Gene Simmons playing bass, like, that's it. So I played bass because of him. So Gene Simmons, about 12 years ago, was the keynote speaker at the New Music West Conference in Vancouver. So I thought, I have to meet this guy. And he has to pose with a Penguin. So my life will be complete if he does. Paul Stanley had already posed with a Penguin. He was cool.
Oh, did you see how he just blew past the Paul Stanley story?
He was on a flight from Mexico up, and we saw him in the airport, and Bernie's like, who's that wanker wearing this long jacket, like, looking like a rock star? And then
he
I
was
see
a
like,
rock star.
Yeah, then I see him like, oh my God, I'm not worthy. So he posed with a Penguin.
You know what, Paul Stanley has always been second to Gene Simmons. You know, even when I was a kid, right, I was listening to Kiss, and I had the albums too.
Yeah.
And Paul Stanley was equally famous. But he's always played second fiddle, right?
Well, Gene Simmons is so outspoken, and he gets the publicity. And
Gene Simmons had the reality show. And,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And Paul Stanley wanted none of it, apparently. So
and then when they went, and then I don't say when they went unmasked, but I remember seeing photos in those teen magazines when I was a kid, and there were a couple pictures of both those guys without their makeup on. Yeah. Paul Stanley looked exactly the way that I pictured him, without makeup. Gene, though, looked completely different than what I pictured him, right?
Yeah.
So, anyway, I'm sorry, I interrupt a lot.
No worries. Ace Frehley without makeup, yeah.
Oh my God, he's so ugly without makeup, right? And Peter Criss, too.
He looks better with makeup, for sure. Yeah, and no one wants to be Peter Criss. So,
well, Peter Criss. You know what? Not to piss off some of our listeners, but most people that wear makeup look better with it on.
That's why they do it, I hope.
Something to consider.
Right.
Plus Marilyn Manson, Brian, whatever his name.
So you're talking about all the dudes. I'm referring to chicks now.
Yeah, you got to be careful. That's true. Be nice.
Okay. Wait. All right.
So,
I'll be nice.
Yes, where were we?
Gene Simmons.
Yes, New Music West Conference. So I'm going downtown. I think he'll pose with the Penguin. He loves his fans, right? So I go down there, I jump off the bus just as he's coming out of the Commodore where the conference speech is going to be. And he's with a whole bunch of people, and I recognize George Strombolopoulos. Everybody in Canada will know who he is. He was a talk show host, a TV guy. So I see him, I go up to him, do you think Gene will pose with the Penguin? And he's like, don't ask me, I don't know. Don't talk to that guy, the marketing guy for Gene. So I go talk to him. And I say, the Penguin's traveling all these places, all these countries, all these people he's posed with. And he goes, I don't know, maybe. Come with us and we'll find out. Meanwhile, Gene's on his phone, as he always is, staring at me like, why is this guy with a Penguin staring at me? So we go kitty corner to this restaurant and we all sit down. The marketing guy goes to Gene, this guy wants you to pose with the Penguin. So Gene looks at me and he goes, yeah, really? What'd you get out of it? I'm like, I don't get anything out of it. So why do you do it? He says, it's fun. Yeah, so what'd you get out of it?
Well, he goes right into the marketing,
I don't get anything out of it. It's not for profit. It's just for fun. Yeah, so why do you do it? Well, I get to meet interesting people and take photos.
That's what he's known for, is making a buck.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Wow.
So I don't get anything out of it. Why do you do it? Because it's fun, and it gives me a reason to take photographs around the world. Okay, so what do you get out of it? these two questions went on for literally 20 minutes. And the rest of the guys, there was like 10 people sitting at the table, and they're like, what is going on here? And I'm thinking, I'm arguing about my muse with my musical hero about a plastic penguin. How surreal is this? Like, I'm going to lose my mind. I give him the card, the penguin card, that has a bunch of names on the back. And he goes, who are all these people? And he's reading like Sir Edmund Hillary and Richard Branson. And oh, there's Paul Stanley. He said, oh, look, there's Paul Stanley. You know him, I'm sure.
Right.
Get a little sarcastic here. He kind of gives me this look.
Like he's gonna break you in half.
So then the questions went on for like another 10 minutes, and he's like, "Oh, what is going on here?" Finally, he says, "Well, I'm gonna take a pass. Nice meeting you." We shake hands. I go on my way, and that's that. So
he said he was taking a pass, or you did?
He said he'd take. He would not do it. He wouldn't do it.
So I was hoping that you said that you turned him down.
Oh, yeah.
I was hoping you said, you know what? Fuck you. Yeah. I don't want that picture after all.
Yeah, really. It's not worth it.
Right?
Yeah. It's like, obviously you need the money, Gene. Here's $5. Come on.
Right.
Yeah, right.
So about a year later, he's in Vancouver once again, and he's promoting Frank's Energy Drink. It's actually Frank Stronach, the car parts guy. He had a Frank's Energy Drink. This is about 2008 or so. So he's in town at 7-Eleven downtown saying, yeah, I'm from a drink. So
he's at 7-Eleven.
At a 7-Eleven, yeah, that's a class act all the way. So he's there. Bernie and I jump in the car, go down there. We're walking in the door, and we're about 40 feet away from him, and he sees us coming in. He yells at us, I'm still not posing with the penguin. He's like, oh, come on.
But you know what? But he remembers you now.
Oh, he sure does.
And now you have a relationship. You're interacting, right?
Yeah.
Well, not a relationship like, you know.
Not in a good way.
Gene Simmons.
But I mean, like, think of the millions of people that guy has met and seen in his life. And he remembers you.
That's right. So we're talking to him, and we're like, why don't you pose with the penguin? He's like, I've done all that kind of stuff. I pose with flying monkeys. And I don't think flying monkeys, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
He wouldn't do it. But I said, well, you signed my Kiss Alive album. He goes, how long ago did this come out? And I'm like mentally calculating in my head, skill testing question. And I was like, okay, 33 years ago. He goes, ooh, very good. He signed the album. Then he posed with me for a photo, posed with Bernie for a photo, and Bernie's trying to push the penguin up behind her back so it shows up between. So he feels that. He turns around and goes to Bernie, you and I are not going to be friends.
Well, he was really pushing hard to not pose with it.
Yes.
But what a story.
Yeah.
Right?
And it's not done.
No.
I was going to say, I thought I saw a
photo. Yeah,
did. Okay,
so,
all right.
The third time.
I'm not going to cut to the end.
Okay, so the third time, he's in town with his entire family. His daughter Sophie runs a charity in Surrey with battered women and children and things. So that's pretty cool. So they're in town doing a fundraising thing at a casino. I think it's the Hard Rock Casino in Coquitlam. So we go out there, and there's a car show. So we thought, well, we'll go out there, take the penguin, see what happens. We get there. It's a huge lineup to meet them. Like, screw it. I'm not lining up. I hate lining up. I hate waiting. I'm not going to do it. So we go look at the cars, look at the casino. We come back. And I'm like, oh, okay. The lineup's not long now. There's like literally four people to meet them. So we jump in. They cut it off right behind us. So we go up. And they've been doing this for about 4 hours. So they're bright tired and they want to get out of there. So we go up. And there's a guy managing the meet and greets. And he says, how many for the photo? In this bored voice. And I say, two and a penguin. He's like, what? I'm like, yeah, it's a penguin. It's famous. Traveling all the world. All these people, blah, blah, blah. He goes, this is great. So he runs, grabs the penguin, takes it to Shannon Tweed. Shannon Tweed instantly starts smooching it, holding up smooching. And Gene turns around and puts his head in his hand and goes, oh,
fuck. I'm fucking penguin.
And click.
Wow. So was that an accidental photo that you snuck in? Or
There was a pro photographer taking these shots.
Okay, so that's how it got in.
Yeah, yeah. So then he called us in, so there's a photo of that shot of the family and him, and he's all like, rrr. And then there's us and things.
Yeah.
You finally got it without him signing off on the deal.
That's right.
Like, I'm stuck
that's
in
hilarious.
This. The picture
great.
Is so great.
Yeah,
he's
it's
off
hilarious.
On the side. The whole Simmons family's here, and there's Gene three steps off to the side, totally disgusted.
Now,
yeah, he was not a happy camper, man.
So that is behavior that doesn't surprise me about Gene.
Yeah, it's kind of in character with how he is.
With his reputation.
Right.
Is there anybody that you have met or the Penguin has met that has been a surprise
Surprise.
Yeah, that they are not who you thought they were.
Huh. No, I don't know. Everybody's been pretty much fantastic. Everybody's been the total opposite of Gene Simmons.
Yeah, like, yeah.
Colin James. I don't know if anybody in the States knows Colin James. He's a pretty great guitarist out of Canada. He posed with penguins. They were rehearsing right beside where we were rehearsing. You know, he's like, I'd be honored to pose with a penguin.
We know Justin Bieber.
Oh.
Other famous Canadians.
Michael Bublé.
Oh, yeah. He's here.
Yeah, you guys have taken him. That's fine.
Yeah. How about Kim Cattrall?
Oh, I didn't know she was Canadian.
Yeah, she's Canadian.
What about...
She's the one that actually messaged me directly, like, can I pose with the penguin?
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, I saw that photo.
That's right. So I'm like, yeah, okay, Kim Cattrall, you can pose with the penguin.
Heck,
she asked. Yeah.
Oh, I forgot that.
Yeah, that's pretty fantastic.
How did that happen?
She and I have mutual friends, and one of the friends, who was like my best friend in junior high school, he's like a Broadway star, TV show writer. Anyways, Bob and I are tweeting back and forth about things. I mentioned the penguin. She's like, what? What's this penguin? And Bob's like, oh, yeah, it's a famous penguin. I'm like, oh, my God, I have to pose with the penguin.
Yeah.
So we went to Toronto when they were filming her show. It was Sensitive Skin, which everybody should see. It's a very good show.
That means it's dirty.
Yeah,
it's a little bit of dirt. And there's some Anne Murray in there, Snowbird.
Oh, my God.
So you can't go wrong with Anne Murray.
How old is Kim Cattrall nowadays?
How old is she?
Yeah.
Oh, she must be late 50s, 60s.
I think she's older than that, right?
Maybe.
We're talking she's Sex in the City, right?
Sex in the City.
Yeah.
20 years.
20 years ago.
Yeah.
Could be.
Wow.
Could be.
Because she's just dripping sexuality, you know.
What was one of the first movies that Kurt Russell was like Big Trouble in Little China?
Yes, that was
it. Right. Yeah. And then she was in Mannequin. Even that,
Mannequin.
She was dripping sexuality. Yeah. They had sex in the display case or something, I remember.
Ooh.
Right?
What?
Remember?
I don't know, but sounds good.
There was like a bed, like bedrooms. Well, it was in the movie, so it wasn't like real, but it's part of the story. I mean, that she's always been that kind of character.
Yeah. Well, it's good to know. She still looks great and super nice. She's fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah.
Huh. That's cool.
Yeah.
Nickelback, that's another Canadian band, right?
Yeah, that's off top.
Yeah, fuck you guys.
Actually, you know, we don't even go as far as to say you will trade Justin Bieber back if you take Nickelback. And here's the funny thing is that Brian and I play in a band together, and this is... Sometimes one of the conversations we have is about Nickelback, because Brian likes Nickelback a lot.
We should call the band Dimeback. We're twice as good as Nickelback.
Twice as good.
Are you really a Nickelback fan?
I like a few songs. I have to admit, Mutt Lange produced one of their albums, and he obviously wrote a bunch of the songs on that album.
Which songs are they?
Burning to the Ground, Nebraska. Actually, that's a Lady Gaga song that he produced. But it sounds
it's for teenage
boys. It is. It really is. I mean, it's juvenile as hell.
That's right. It's penguin rock.
Yes. And penguins have no discerning taste, clearly. But
and apparently, it catches.
I get a kick out of it. But the production is great, because Mutt Lange, like, come on, he's a fantastic producer. And all the songs sound like Shania's songs, because that's, of course, we married.
Oh, wait. But is Shania produced. Canadian?
Yeah.
She is?
She's from Timmins.
I thought she was from Alaska.
You see what you're learning right now is that pretty much everything you love is coming from our country. You love Justin Bieber, you love Michael Bublé, and you love
Michael Bublé.
You know what? I do like your prime minister.
Well,
there are a lot of people who
I like how you hesitated that. Yeah, I'll trade your prime minister for our president.
I don't know.
I don't know if you recall at the beginning of this, there was a couple of rules, and you're breaking your rules.
You're right. Okay.
That was close.
Let's change the topic.
Okay.
Next topic.
Thanks for catching me on that.
Back to cool things out of Canada. Tragically Hip.
Yeah.
Bare Naked Ladies. Tom Wilson. Junkhouse.
Rocket Rod.
Hang Ten Hangman. There's a really good surf band out of Canada called the Hang Ten Hangman.
I've heard of them.
Bob McKenzie.
Bob and Doug. I know, that's a two for one.
Strange Brew.
Very good. A classic movie.
Very good.
Trailer Park.
You Hoser A. Three turtlenecks and a beer.
Do you serve beer at the Shameful Tiki Room?
We have...
You have Hawaiian beer.
We have usually four or five different variations, bottle only, no draft. We just don't have room.
So I find this interesting because as an American, you know, I don't want to sound like an arrogant American, but you know, when we travel, it's weird to me that when I see American brands like Budweiser and Coors and all the shitty beer that we have, that's actually, it's an import beer, right? If I go outside of the United States.
That's right.
And then they charge more for the shitty beer.
And you're like, who would import this in the first place?
Right? Exactly. So is that how American beer, I know it's a stupid question. Look, when I'm in Canada, I don't feel like I'm in another country, you know? Like, everybody talks the same. Everything looks the same. What throws me off is the money's different. You guys measure things in kilometers instead of miles per hour. Everything is the metric system. And then you have Justin Bieber.
Yeah, well,
but you know what I mean?
Like,
everything's in Celsius. It's weird because it still feels like America to me, but then you're reminded every once in a while that, no, you're outside the United States.
It's a different country.
I think the biggest thing is that the information that comes out of North America and the commercials and everything that's pumped into your consciousness generally comes from the United States. So when you see beer commercials, think back to the 70s and 80s, it was Rainier beer, Michelob and Bud Light. There's a lot of people that are 40, 50, 60 years old. They might live in Canada, but they've been inundated with American commercials, and a lot of them think Budweiser's a great beer. And I'm not saying it is or isn't. I'm taking the high road. But what I'm saying is that...
You can. There's no rule against talking about beer.
Yeah.
We're in a brewery. We're in Frogtown Brewery.
This is a great case. So when you go into Vancouver, so I personally live in East Vancouver, and...
That's the pumpkin.
Have you tried it? I tried it.
It's a very pumpkin.
When you, it's not like the pumpkin pie beer we had yesterday.
It's more subtle.
You can walk around the neighborhood and within 10 minutes you've hit a dozen breweries.
Okay.
And so now what's happening, I can speak for Vancouver only, but the discerning taste has totally changed. I'm not going to walk out into the neighborhood and ever ask for a Budweiser.
Sure.
Or anything like that, or anything. I'm going to go to the local places, much like here, and I want to see what they've got. So we have a huge craft brewery thing that's exploded. So it's, you know, the only thing at the Shameful Tiki Room is we look for things that tie into our theme. And that's really hard to do from a local brewery. They're not making Kona this or you know, Tiki Volcano that.
They're not throwing pineapple or coconut in it.
So we look for the coconut.
Right, like the pineapple burger, the Hawaiian burger. They just throw pineapple in it.
Hawaiian pizza.
Just throw pineapple on it.
Hawaiians are rolling over. Right. The metal people.
Right. We don't do this.
Yeah, that's right. We never do this. But Hawaiians also, we never did this tiki thing. You made that.
That's right.
That's now we have to import Mai Tais because we didn't make this up.
Right.
Oh my God, this isn't ours. Whatever.
So that's why you don't carry a lot of beer there?
We don't carry a lot of beer. At the very beginning, I mean, there's a lot of stories about the very beginning, but at the beginning people said, you know, are people going to want to order these drinks? I said, well, this is what we do and this is what makes us different. So I think they will. And at first, we had the same thing, and even visiting the Tiki Tea, we witnessed over the last three nights, people sitting down saying, I want a vodka soda, I want this and that. I find that hilarious. But they're outsiders that don't know what this place is. At the Shameful Tiki Room, beer, wine, vodka sodas, vodka cranberry, whatever you want, all that outside stuff represents about 5% of our sales. 95% of our sales is Mai Tais, Zombies, Navy Grogs, Blue Hawaiis. It's all the stuff that people that should be asking
yeah,
for.
That, yeah.
I'm probably like 80% of those Navy Grogs.
But is it like that because they come in there expecting that? That's what they want, right?
It is now.
Because you guys are the only, you're the only tiki bar in town other than...
Oh, yeah.
What's the old one?
Well, the Waldorf Hotel.
Yeah.
Giving it props. It's a classic mid-century hotel.
Yeah,
really
but they're not doing tropicals or anything, right?
They don't care.
Yeah.
They do have some, but it's always ebbing and flowing. It's just that. We don't play club music after 9 o'clock. We don't change. We're always... We are what we are.
You don't play club music anytime.
That's right. And that's the thing, is that we don't change to suit the people that are coming in expecting it to be a certain thing after, you know, like, okay, I want to dance, or I want to drink a beer, or I want to... No, every hour that we're open, you come in expecting an immersive tiki experience. You're going to come in and get a Navy Grog. That's it.
Yeah. I gotta be honest with you, the first time that I went in there with high expectations. And I also went in there, you know, being a tiki guy for so long and seeing it done wrong so many times, every time I hear about a new tiki place, I was already expecting it to fail. Like in my head, I thought, okay, let's see what this place is about. I'm pretty sure it ain't gonna be like, you know, nobody just does it correctly anymore, right? Or, well, I should take that back because people are starting to pay more attention to that. But yeah. When I first went in there, and I don't remember how many years ago it was, I was going in there with a critical eye, about ready to bash it. And right. I actually was very impressed, you know? And then, you know, and I don't know if I told you this, but, you know, I took some pictures, checked it on Facebook and all that kind of stuff. And of course, Tiki Diablo calls me soon after, right? And I'm in the car now, and he says, "Hey, you're up in Canada?" And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "So, how was that Shameful Tiki Room? What did you think?" And I said, "I'm actually, like, really pleasantly surprised. I didn't think it was going to be as authentic an experience as it was." And he's like, "Really?" And I said, "Yeah." I said, "They did everything right, you know?" And I talked about the decor, and I talked about the no windows and the TV, there's no TV, and that there's a little stage and a mug cabinet, and the cocktails, all that kind of stuff. And the food was good. And the best part, really for me, was, and you know this, when I was in town on business, I was there almost every day. Your staff was, they were excellent. They made me feel at home. And by the time I was ready to go back to California, I had felt like a regular there, like I'd been going there for so long. I felt like I belonged, like I knew all your bartenders. I knew your chef. Can we call him a chef?
Well, don't, because then they're going to ask for more money.
But, you know, like the service is great. The food was great. The atmosphere was great. Everything was right. It ticked off all the boxes. Yeah. So thank you for that. Thank you for, like, you know, giving us another place that's worthy of visiting, right? Because, you know, like everybody has in their mind what they think tiki's supposed to be. It's not always what it should be. I mean, like, there's always that debate, what is and isn't tiki? You know, it's not somebody's opinion, or else then it would never be defined, right? Because, you know, everybody's opinion's different. But it is defined. It was defined with the Book of Tiki. It was defined with Tiki Pop. It was defined with, you know, all these different books that came out that Sven wrote and Jeff Barry wrote. And they didn't define it. They just wrote an observation of what they were finding. You know, when they were uncovering menus and postcards, they found what all the common denominators were, right? No windows, perpetually dusk, no TVs. All the tropical drinks were pretty much the same. They all had zombies. They all had Mai Tais. They all had QB coolers. They all had Singapore slings. And they compiled all of that into a book because it was never documented, right? So let me get off my soapbox now.
You know what? The biggest thing that I think, what I try to do with many of my projects, whether it's a tiki room or a retail store or a band, is that it's take yourself out of the equation. It's not personal. No one cares about you and what right. you want and like. All I know is that if I really dig it, whatever that thing is, you know, when I went to the TPT and thought, what a great place. Not because of the playlist or because the Dodgers are playing over my head or whatever, but because there's something about the energy of the place, so capture that. It's about that. It's not about me personally. But if I find something that's really cool and try and replicate that, probably a lot of other people will think the same thing. But so, also the history of it and just trying to capture that and take me personally out of it. Like, I used to run a hockey business. I used to have a hockey store. I'm not going to put TVs up because I don't want to miss the game in my tiki bar.
Right.
Because it doesn't make sense.
Right.
Take the personal out of it and do it the way it's supposed to be done for the
That's
for
why.
The
that's why you're still standing. Because that really is a great way to run a business, right? Take yourself out of it. Take your personal emotion and feeling out of it.
Mm. Yeah.
And use that formula to success, right?
Yeah, I think it's true.
Yeah, the music played there is appropriate. It's not like Nickelback. as much as we all love Nickelback in Canada.
But there's a place for that.
Yeah, that's right. There's a bar down the street. You want to hear that? Go there.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
This episode is brought to you in part by Steadfast Pomade. Steadfast Pomade is a strong-holding, medium-bodied, water-based styling product for men and women, which leaves your hair looking slick, neat, and shiny with a clean, fresh scent. Its unique formula allows you to easily restyle your hair throughout the day and washes out with ease. Steadfast Pomade is American-made and veteran-owned. Available in original and anchor hold. Get yours today at steadfastpomade.com. Tame the waves and keep it steadfast. This episode is also sponsored by the Tiki Tea. Founded in 1961, the Tiki Tea is a family-owned and operated tropical drink bar practicing the lost art of exotic cocktail mixing. Come try their house specialty, the Ray's Mistake, a delicious concoction of botanic liqueurs, passion fruit, gin, and rum for only $6 on Wednesdays until 9 p.m. The Tiki Tea is located at 4427 Sunset Boulevard in Hollywood, California. For more information, check out their website, tiki-ti.com. The Tiki Tea, Ground Zero for tropical drinks.
I'm sorry.
Okay, no, no, no. I want to switch gears. I want to talk about how you this whole thing got started and what you did before. You mentioned a hockey store.
Yeah.
So tell me about that, and tell me about how you went from running a hockey store to running a tiki bar.
As a young man, early 20s, I was working for, you know, in Vancouver and Canada in general, hockey's a big deal. So in any big city,
imagine
there's a pro hockey team, and there's a lot of minor hockey, and everybody plays hockey. It's just a thing. I started working for one of the bigger stores in Vancouver. I think I was 21 or 22. And at some point I realized I want to own my own store. I don't want to work for somebody else. I really have, to this day.
Have you always been that way?
Yes, I have a hard time listening to somebody else tell me what to do. I'd rather fall on my face, taking my own chances, than have somebody else telling me what to do and questioning what they're telling me, or watching them go home and do nothing while I work all day, or whatever. So that was always my ambition. From about 26 on, I wanted my own store, and it took quite a while before that became something where I could jump on it and actually get my own store. I was 33, and it happened. I got my own store. It was inside a big ice arena. There's multiple sheets of ice, and there's a little, they call it pro shop, in the middle. It was a big store. It was like 1,700 square feet. So I was so hungry for that, I can't even tell you. I understood that profession. I understood retail. I understood how to run the store. I dived in with both feet and promptly worked so often and so much that my friends went by the wayside, and, you know, my
Your business consumed all your time.
It was everything. It was everything. But, you know, when you make that choice, there is a benefit to it, which is that you're business does great, because everyone's like, we love you because you are so hungry for this, and we can see your passion, and every time we come in you're here, so we can count on you, we trust you. The downside to that, after a number of years, I was doing very well. After a number of years, you know, customers would come in and you need a day off, and they're like, okay, if he's not here, we're not coming in. And that's when I first learned that lesson, that I can't be chained to this place, or else, like, I can never take a day off. It seemed crazy to me, but nope, they won't give you any forgiveness. They won't cut you any slack. So my wife, Monica, and stepdaughter, Kim, we had gone to Hawaii in 2006. And if you remember Thor had a little store in Waikiki.
A Thor store.
And I knew nothing about this in 2006. I knew how to sharpen a pair of skates, how to cut a hockey stick.
Right. There's a transferable skill.
It didn't transfer the least. But I remember walking into Thor's store, and he had all his crap everywhere, you know, like tiki mugs and pitchers and stuff. And I just kind of standing there going,
it's all his fault.
It is his fault.
Thor's the influence.
I did tell him that once. I think he said, cool, thanks. Where did you want me to sign this? Okay.
Yeah.
But I remember I picked up a tiki mug, and I'm pretty sure I looked at Monica and said, what is this? Like, is it a vase? Is this art? What do you do? She's like, I don't know. Can we get going? We got a dinner reservation. Like, I'm going to buy this. It was just your atypical brown early era tiki farm mug. And if you were to ask me now, out of your collection, which one is it? I have no clue. It's the brown one.
Oh, that's funny. You don't even know.
I really don't know. Come on. You must know.
But I love the answer when you say it's the brown one because.
That's the joke. I know.
Another brown mug.
It's
great.
It's the joke.
I have a shelf, just real quick. I have a shelf upstairs where I just took all my brown Tiki Farm mugs and I put them all on the shelf. Yep. Some of them are $20 mugs. Some of them are more. Right. They all look the same.
Oh, for sure.
Some are fat, skinny, short, tall, but they all look the same. So, but anyway, continue.
That moment, long story short, was the beginning of a turnaround in my brain. Essentially what happened there is we went home. Monica discovered this store that ironically is across the street from where I have a store now, but the tiki store is gone. It was called Funhauser. So in the mid-2000s to whatever year they closed, these guys sold tiki stuff, mugs, tiki magazine, like all kinds of home decor. It was a really cool store, but really niche to the point where they couldn't keep it going. But so she would go in there and buy me a magazine or this, that. I just started going, this is a thing. Like, I'm learning about this whole other pop culture underground thing. And my mug collection was growing, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And then at some point, I noticed vintage matchbook artwork.
Yeah.
You know, the Contiki lanes or whatever from the 50s. This would be really cool if we, I always had a thing for like t-shirts and stuff. So I started doing t-shirts. Somebody found Tiki Oasis online and said, hey, check this out. It's an event in San Diego that does all this crazy stuff that you seem to be getting into. I'm like, oh my God, it's great. We went down there. We kind of went across the border with one box of t-shirts, set up our table. It was okay. We carried on from there during this
process. What year was this?
This was 2009.
Okay.
And in 2010, we decided we're going to go hog wild. We're going to build a big display and really go for it. Across the border, I had done all my whatever the paperwork was you were supposed to do. What I didn't know is that you could do paperwork out the yin yang. As a Canadian, I can't cross the border and sell stuff. It doesn't matter what money I've paid, what license I've got, I'm not allowed. I hit the border, and it turned into a 12-hour marathon of death. It was awful.
Oh, were they asking, like, why are you bringing all this stuff with you?
I said, what? The first guy just said, you can't. You're not allowed in. So you gotta beat it. Because we're not in trouble at this point.
Yeah.
We just got turned away. Now I know what turned away means when you try and come back. Anyway, so we went to somebody's house. Said, can we drop a bunch of this off? And then we're going to take another stab at it. We're just going to tell them we're going on vacation. What I didn't know, because I wasn't very smart, is that it already shows up on their computer. The license plate shows up. It's like, okay, we've already bounced this guy once.
Yeah.
Take a look through his car. They take a look. They find a bunch of shirts. They said, we bounced you from
right,
you can't bring this stuff in. So what's all that stuff? Monica looks at me. I'm like, oh, this is not good.
Right.
Not good. We got fingerprinted. We got fined. We got interrogated into separate rooms.
Wow.
I had five people standing there, including somebody who looked like Navy SEAL guy at the back, 7 feet tall, staring at me, arms crossed. Some lady yelling at my face. And it got so out of this world. She's like, you can't bring a shirt like in there. That's got an American address on it. What? What does that even mean? Right. Half my shirts say Nike or Adidas. They're all American. What are you talking about? She says, that's got an American address. What is that all about? I don't know. So then finally we're sitting there. Monica's looking at me going, I think I'm going to throw up. I'm like, I'm going to off myself. This is terrible. The guy comes over. It's been close to 10 hours. He goes, here's the thing. You know, I got to fine you. And you got to sign off. You've been fingerprinted. Everything. The fine is $5,000.
Wow.
I said, oh my God. Okay, well, I have
one. We're just trying to sell a couple shirts.
I got one credit card that'll cover this, and then we're going home. And he goes, but if you sign this piece of paper, and essentially the piece of paper says, I'm sorry, it'll be $500. I said, okay, for a $4,500 savings, I will sign your really annoying piece of paper. I sign it, and he's like, okay. And then Monica goes, okay. Just so you know, we have 3 weeks worth of hotels and events and stuff planned. If we go out and every shirt is gone and our car's empty except for our underwear, can we come back? He goes, you can try. You can come back to the border and give it another shot. That would be our third shot.
Yeah.
I'm like, she's got a good point. We spent a lot of money on a lot of everything. So everything's gone. We've been fined. We've been fingerprinted. We've been yelled at. We've been interrogated. We turn around and we come back. And as we're pulling up to the border, we see the same fat guy who's been there all day. And he looks at us, and I read his lips. He's like, they're back. Like, now we're becoming a big deal. They're like, oh, my God. What are we going to do to them this time? We pull in. And he goes, come on in. We're like, yeah, we know the drill. We're already ready. We see our parking spot. We're coming in. And so we come in. And they're like, we're going to check the car. Keys. Like, there's nothing in it. Check it. Check it. It's empty. Like, we've thrown everything out. And I think we're free and clear. And the one guy that was kind of quasi passive aggressive, nice to us, he walks out. He looks at me. He goes, come here. He goes, what are you wearing? I look down. It's one of my shirts. The one with the American address.
The address.
Oh, no, right. He goes, I tell you what, here's how this is going to go. It's like 11 o'clock at night. Our day started at 8 a.m. He goes, you walk across the border with that shirt. You leave it on the Canada side. Throw it in a garbage can. Give it to a homeless guy. I don't care. Take it off and come back in. And you're in. Fine. It cost me $3. I don't care.
Right.
Fuck you. I walk across, I fold it up, I put it on the bench. I'm like, I hope somebody enjoys that. I strut back, I've got like shorts on and flip-flops no shirt. I'm like, check it out, yo. I'm like, nice. Can we go? He's like,
okay.
Go enjoy your vacation. And we've got like nothing. We started the day with a car full of this.
I know you're shirtless.
I don't even have a shirt on. Like, we're going to have to stop at a Target so I can get a shirt and some more clothes. It was a nightmare. So we got down there, and I remember calling Otto. I'm like, my booth is up for grabs because I got nothing to sell.
Right.
I will tell you one thing. The next year, this is my problem, I think. When it comes, push comes to shove, and I've been in that situation, like, I want to sell the shirts. I want to get the table one more time and take a stab at selling our shirts. Why? Because, like, I want nothing to do with that or you. I don't care. Like, I tell you what, I have a friend. We're going to get the shirts down there. It's no one's problem. We're going to cross the border with nothing. But at this point, I have a flag. Anytime I go through, they're like, come on to the back.
Right.
Yep. Okay, here.
Also, every time you drive through, they have to check the car?
For 1 year. Okay. It was a one-year flag. I sent the box of shirts down. It was probably 100 shirts or something. I'm just determined. We have so many great designs and stuff. I get my table. I've got my shirts. We sell out in a day. I sold everything we had. It was awesome. I'm like, good. I'm done. I never have to do this again. I don't make t-shirts anymore. I've never done it since. I just wanted to prove my point that the shirts were good. People wanted them. I got it done. I scratched the itch. And now it's never a thing.
Shit, I want a shirt now.
I know.
Now I really want one.
We don't do it anymore.
But you know,
the remainder of the story, really quickly, is that the next step was not design. The next step was cocktails. And I read all of each Bradbury's books. And I become obsessed with making Falernum and Orgeat at home and all this stuff. And learning how to craft a proper tiki drink. And then that was the thing that got me thinking, I want to sell the hockey store and open a tiki bar.
Yes.
And the reactions from people was like,
are you crazy, right?
Some people said you're crazy. Some people said it actually sounds like a good idea.
I said, thank God.
I didn't know you yet, but I'm sure you did. Somewhere you woke up screaming.
It's so opposite because, you know, like hockey, cold weather, tiki bar, warm weather, tropical. You went from selling gear to selling drinks. I mean, it's so different.
It was very different.
What was the learning curve like? Was it just applying the same business principles to a different product? Or was it learning from scratch?
It wasn't scratch. There are sort of a handful of principles that apply in business. Like, okay, is your location good? Do you have a good product? Have you figured out your pricing? So if something costs me $4 and I sell it for $4.50, I'm not going to last. But if I figure out, okay, in this kind of business, when I got to pay however many people and blah, 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 how much does everything need? And then all you got to do is ask somebody, how much do you charge for your drinks?
Right.
And how much do they cost you? Okay, so the markup is this. Okay. You figure out what the core, every business seems to have.
But do people give up that information easily? I mean, that sounds like something that.
Some do.
Okay.
It's not rocket science. You know, there's always some people that don't want to talk to you, and always some. And I have some friends in Vancouver that have other places, and they're like, I'd be happy to meet with you and share some info with you. I don't care. I'm not going to corner the market.
And you're not directly competing with them. You have a different style of bar, right?
Totally. So It was never a. I don't mean this to. I don't mean to say that because of me. I just mean it was never a challenge. Like, you do the basics right, which anybody can do. You have a pretty decent idea, which not everybody gets that part. And then you just so, you know, it's like I want to have a good part of town. Got to have a good lease. Can't be too big. I got to have just the right amount of staff. And as long as you're close with those equations, you should be okay. It took us 2 years to get rolling in Vancouver, and once it got rolling, it was great.
Yeah. Yeah. And now it's a destination.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very cool spot. I actually wish you had a spot down here. You know, you guys are down here a lot.
What's that all about?
Yeah, I mean, like, no, what I mean is that if you're down here so much, it wouldn't be something that is unreasonable, because it would give you something, you know, give you a reason not only to come down.
Another reason to come back.
But since you're down here a lot anyway, you could still manage it, right?
Even a place for our band to play.
Even that.
You're not wrong, Adrian. We'll talk after the podcast.
That's awesome.
We'll sign some paperwork.
Awesome.
I just come down here because Brian always wants to, so.
True. Because without you, he's the loser lonely guy, right?
Wait, what?
He's got the table for one.
The penguin
table
breaks.
For one.
It's always a table for two. Come on.
That thing breaks ice like I could.
Where's
never
the singles
do.
Line?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a single. We have one single. I'm in.
Sorry, Red. It's me and the penguin.
Yeah.
I get it.
That's an interesting story.
Yeah. But then, though, there's Shameful Tiki Toronto.
Yeah.
Second anniversary coming up in what?
It's coming up
3 weeks.
Yeah, it's 3 weeks away. Our second anniversary.
So tell me about Toronto. I mean, like, obviously, it you wanted to have a spot in both the West Coast and, would that be considered the East Coast?
Oh, it's East Coast.
Okay.
It's Toronto. It's the center of the universe for Canada.
How much the same and how different is it as the one in Vancouver?
Well,
the Burton Wood is pretty good.
Do you find, like, does it have a different clientele? Do people drink more of a certain kind of drink or eat more of a certain kind of food?
It is different.
Do they sell more mahi sliders there than they do in Vancouver?
No.
I want to talk about the mahi sliders, by the way.
Well, and we'll talk about crab rangoon, because I can do that in Toronto because we have a hood there, you know, for grease-laden vapors when you're doing deep-fried stuff, which we don't have in Vancouver. So doing crab rangoon for me was always... It's going to sound dumb. It was a dream of mine to be able to do crab rangoon, because it's such a classic.
Yeah, it's a classic.
And now I have to go to Toronto just for that.
But before you couldn't.
No, I know
that.
A place over here where we can get it.
Well, we'll do that.
All right.
But in Canada, it's different. Like, you know what I mean?
Like, sure.
Uh-huh. Toronto was different. The general vibe, the general vibe of the room is probably different. It's a bit bigger. It's a very different city. It's a way bigger city, and that's why I wanted to go there, because it's a huge city.
Toronto and Vancouver would be the equivalent for me as like LA and New York, right? Different culture, different clientele, different attitudes.
Different everything.
Everything's right. Different. Different palates, different preferences, different... weather, different everything.
Here's a good example. In Vancouver, Vancouver's kind of a quiet town. So especially in our neck of the woods, where the tiki room is, at 11:30, 12 o'clock, people start to vacate. They're going to go home. They're going to call the night. We can bill people out and stuff, and they go home and go to bed. In Toronto, I think it was... one of my early lessons that this is a very different place is it was a really quiet night. And I remember Alana, my manager there, my managing partner, she sent me this funny message going, yeah, it was so funny. You know, it was such a quiet night. And at 1 a.m., a bunch of suits come in. And these are financial people from downtown Toronto. I don't know what they've been doing until this time, but they pile out of a cab. They roll in at 1 a.m. and they drop a whole pile of money on drinks and food, and then they bail out. She's like, we ended up having a great day. Because of that.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for that crew, it would have been kind of a sleepy night. But they showed up at 1 a.m. I mean, for me, it'd be like, get out. I'm going to sleep. So, and Brian is from Toronto, so he understands this dynamic. Vancouver's kind of sleepy and kind of like, hey, man. And maybe it's like your you know, what you're talking about.
Yeah, like here,
to Toronto,
let me ask you, like, how late can you guys stay open in Vancouver versus Toronto?
1 a.m. to 2 a.m., which doesn't sound like a big deal, but...
In Vancouver?
Yeah. Vancouver's 1 a.m., Toronto's 2 a.m.
So,
yeah.
Like here in California, you can only serve liquor until 2 a.m. That's why last call is always 1:30.
Right.
And I know that places like Chicago, it's like 4 a.m. or something like that. And that extra 2 hours is a huge difference. Even an extra hour would be a huge difference. So I understand what you're getting at. I know that here in California, there is a push to move it from 2 a.m. to 4 a.m. Now, I can see the big corporations wanting to jump on that because that's more money, right? They see that as more revenue. But I know all the individual bar owners, I know a lot of them are like, no. Okay, you can push it to 4 a.m. if you want, but
they're not.
I want to go home. I'm not going to stay home until 4 in the morning.
I can't imagine the Buellans being like, awesome, we can stay here till another couple hours.
Right. Yeah, 6 a.m. I'm going home.
Well, I mean, like, really, unless you are one of those big corporate places that's packed all the time, right. And even at 1:30 in the morning,
you're full.
How much business are you going to generate between 2 a.m. and 4 a.m. to make it worth the money?
This is super drunk business.
Yeah, it's annoying business.
Yeah, it increases your liability, right? Because nothing good happens at that time of the evening.
That's a good way to put it.
Nothing good happens.
Yes, right? So, what was it like to get the liquor license in Canada? How different is that? It's different from state to state here, but in California, it's expensive. Because they have multiple types of licenses, but the two popular ones are the 47 and the 48, right? As you're aware of this. And I think it's the 47, which is the liquor-only license, and the 48 requires you to serve food.
Right.
And from what I understand, they're no longer issuing 47s. So if you want a bar that doesn't have to serve food, you have to...
You've got to buy one.
Yeah, you have to buy a bar that's already got a 47. And then you can't even transfer the license to another location. It's married to that address.
Right.
So you have to open the bar at that address. So is it similar to that, like in Canada?
It is similar. So, and just like you said, instead of states, we have provinces. And from province to province, these things are different. So Ontario is different than BC. In BC, Vancouver, you can buy a business that has a food primary license, they call it, but it allows you to sell liquor. And what's been adjusted over the last few years is that you don't have to eat. You just have to offer food.
Oh, okay.
Sounds like we're in the middle of a Disney ride.
I think we are.
But in Toronto, it's a bit different. I believe, if I recall right, it's one license for everybody. And you can serve liquor. You just have to offer something to eat. Doesn't even have to be a kitchen. You can offer
bag of chips.
I don't even know if it goes to that extreme of like this isn't even food. But the previous tenant at that location, and like you said, in Toronto, in Ontario, the license is married to the building, not to the company. So I took over the license when I took over that lease of that building. It just stays there. So if I leave, the owner of the building gets the license back. But the license just says, the previous tenant said, I just make Jamaican meat patties.
Right.
So I'll make you a meat patty. That's it. Otherwise, you're drinking.
What if I want mahi sliders?
Then you got to go to BC. And it's different there. You got to have a full-scale menu. It's like you got to offer an appetizer.
Right, so it is different from province to province. Yeah.
But if you show up there and say, but I just want to drink, well, that's fine. As long as the kitchen's open.
Yeah, yeah.
It's different.
Well, it sounds like we're losing our quiet time.
We are. Dope.
We should, this is maybe a good time to wrap it up. But before we do, is there anything you guys want to promote? What is the future of the Shameful Tiki Room?
Well, it's not exactly the Shameful Tiki Room. Brian's been subject to me blathering about this.
Here we go again.
Inadvertently, you know, just like, hey, Brian, I have this idea. Yeah, I know, you've told me. And I'm a big advocator of not talking too much about your big ideas, because sometimes the more you vent them, the more they just dissipate in the air and you don't actually do them. But I think I'm over that. I'm going to go back to Toronto shortly for our second anniversary there, but I'm going to hang around for a while and scout out another location to try out something that's more in the geez, I'm almost afraid to say it in case somebody else is like, that's a great idea, I'm going
to
do that first.
You don't have don't to say it. If
don't
you're
say
not,
it.
If you're not comfortable saying it, you don't
have
to say it.
Here's what I'm going to say. It is a theme, and it...
You can hint whatever you want to hint, and then you can tell me after we stop the recording.
Off the record.
I would just say what I've discovered is that it's a theme that a lot of people really like that I really had no idea.
Okay.
And it's apropos.
So we have something exciting to look forward to is what you're saying.
And then we're and
that's okay. That's okay.
What I've been trying to do is get Brian to buy into coming
burning,
with me.
Burning more wood?
But the thing is that he likes building tiki bars, so he helped me with the one in Toronto because he's got a burning wood fetish. And this next project won't really have any burning wood. So.
Oh, there will be. There will be burning wood.
Then you won't be much help.
I'll be there for 10, 12
burning
minutes.
Burning the place down.
There you go.
Anyway, yeah.
Cool. Well, that's exciting. I'm excited to see what you do next.
Thanks.
What about you, Brian? Is there anything else that you want to talk about? Anything that you want to put out to our listeners there?
No, not at all.
Where can our listeners see this penguin? Does the penguin have a website or a Facebook page?
It's got it all going on. There's
Instagram.
The website. Yes, yes, yes. The website is thetravelingpenguin.com.
Okay.
Also, Traveling Penguin on Facebook. Just started Instagram like 3 weeks ago, so it's all of like, 40... followers, whatever it is.
At
right?
Traveling Penguin?
It's Penguin is Go.
Penguin is Go. At Penguin is Go.
Just, yeah. Penguin
okay.
is Go. Same with Twitter. So, getting the Instagram going. Also, hey, all the tiki peeps that like tiki mugs, take a look at Nohona Tiki.
Okay.
So, that's where I post all my tiki mug porn shots.
Okay, and that's on Instagram?
Yes.
Okay.
Nohona
and then,
Tiki.
And then I also want to make sure that our listeners know Shameful Tiki Room has... Facebook, Instagram, website?
Website, all of the above.
Is it theshamefultikiroom.com or shamefultikiroom.com?
Theshamefultikiroom.com, I believe, and then there's a link to either location. And our Toronto anniversary is coming up, and we have a very wicked mug coming up, but we do limited 100, 150 run. They
right.
usually don't even make it through the weekend, but
that's
I still like
cool.
to throw it out there. So
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, bands.
And for our listeners that don't know, the two of my guests that are sitting here with me today are part of the Hang Ten Hangmen. Classic surf music. That you guys, do you have a YouTube channel for that?
We don't have a channel, but we've posted videos. We have, I don't know, we don't have a huge social media presence. We have a Facebook page with videos and stuff like that. We've played around. We're in the middle of working on a new full-length album. We're going to see if we can find somebody that wants to take part in releasing or whatever. It's all original material. We're going... full out like high-end recording studio, and if I can say this with, and Brian can confirm if he thinks this is true or not, I think it's sounding fantastic.
It kicks ass.
Pretty damn good.
It's really good.
When is that slated to come out?
Later
Okay.
Yeah.
Later but soon.
Awesome.
Soon but later.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, gentlemen, for joining the podcast today. I appreciate it.
Let's
do one last toast.
Okay, I'm out. I'll wait.
Here
we go.
Wait, I got nothing.
Nobody knows when they're listening, so.
Cheers.
Cheers and aloha. And for all you listeners out there, if you'd like to leave us a question, comment, or just leave a shout out, check us out on Facebook at the Inside the Desert Oasis Room group page, or find us on Instagram at Polynesian Pop. Thanks again for listening. We'll see you next time.